Okay, good morning. Let's have a wonderful morning of worship together in many different ways. And let's begin with prayer, which we're in the midst of studying, and so important even to begin worship together. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for our God to whom we can pray, and who also desires for us to pray. And Father, we pray now that you will guide us this morning, that our worship will be glorifying to Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's turn to hymn number 403. 403. Today, last week we played or sang What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That's what we prayed. So this year, this day, it's going to be What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And this is about prayer, as you're going to see when you go through it. So let's, 403, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's stand and sing together.
Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often sorbeth. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Because we do not carry everything to prayer. Have we trial, temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And we find a Prince so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Jesus, fill our every weakness, take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care?
Let's go through some things as far as our prayer is concerned. Now, kind of been booked by the Chris, but let's just go through them. First of all, Larry, Laura's father, and he's doing so much better. I talked to him yesterday, and he is just doing so much better, his breathing and all. And Beth is doing really well. And Cameron, if you remember, Cameron came down with COVID, but he's doing much better now. In fact, he will be able to be released out Friday this week. And then Ben leaves for A&M tomorrow. Wah! And so let's be in prayer for Ben as he goes back to A&M. And, of course, Nick, who was he's just still battling. And Chris was saying yesterday, it's really rough for Nick. So let's be in prayer for Nick. And Laura's doing fine. Be in prayer for Chris. All right, next we need to be in prayer for Fran. She's really battling now, so let's be in prayer for Fran. Jeff Harrison's sister had COVID. She's doing much better, but we need to be in prayer. It takes a couple of, sometimes a month or two after we come out. They come out of COVID, so let's be in prayer for them. And Pat, how are you doing?
I'm doing better.
Better, but you're still fighting.
Yeah, well, I have ups and downs. I haven't gotten back to my normal walk or those kinds of things, and sometimes I have 2.5 hours of coughing out of nowhere. Just cough. I'm exhausted. Well, that's fine.
Well, we'll continue being in prayer for you, Pat. Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
You don't have anything like that.
I got some medication early on and avoided all the COVID nonsense.
There you go. And let's be in prayer for Judith as she continues to fight thing out with their doctor. So please be in prayer for Judith. Now, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Yes, be sure tomorrow morning I go for my second eye, the left eye.
Oh, that's tomorrow. What time?
Well, I'm to be there at 6:15, and I'm there first, but it'll probably be an hour before they're ready.
Wow. Well, we'll be in prayer for you, darling.
Pray again that everything goes as well as it did
good
this time, and that I make it.
All right. Good. Okay. Any other?
Stay calm again.
All right. Any other prayer?
She's having her second eye surgery on Friday.
Has what?
My mom is also having her second eye surgery.
Oh.
Coming Friday.
Wow, my goodness.
Same thing as a nail.
Gee whiz, we've got this thing going on. All right, we'll be in prayer. All right, Friday. All right.
My nail went fine, so, you know, fingers crossed.
Okay, we'll be in prayer. Yes, sir.
Lori's brother, Tom, just got put in the hospital for COVID today.
Oh, cool.
Her brother that was out in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just got put in the hospital today.
Wow. How old is he now?
He's
younger
than
Lori. Yeah. Maybe.
I'm not sure.
45 to 50.
Okay. Well, let's be in prayer then. My goodness. He went in yesterday, today. So he's got quite a battle, so let's be in prayer. Yes?
Just prayers of thanksgiving for Tish. Her dialysis is working. She's lessened her dose. She went from an 8-hour process down to a 6-hour.
Is she doing it during the day? That she told me that. That's really good.
But yes, her numbers are looking better, and so yeah, it's good where she doesn't need it every day, you know?
Of course, I kind of wondered, why spend the day when you could just go to bed at night and say all that stuff.
6 hours, someone would have to get up in the middle of the night and unhook her. You know what I mean? And go through a process. It's a process.
Well, Larry, can you do that? Get Leslie out there doing that. All right, let's continue being in prayer for Tish. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Chris said, correction, he's not in the hospital. He's been taken to the hospital for evaluation. He's 45 years old.
Okay, my goodness. And he's taken in today?
Just to evaluate.
Okay.
He's being monitored. They may check him in. Yeah.
All right. Very good. We'll be in prayer. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
The Wises are on the road taking Orion to Stephen F. Austin today to move in.
Okay.
And then they're coming back, and then we're going back one more time.
Okay. That's really something. Our granddaughter is just now, last week, went into her first time for college at a Christian college in Kansas. And it's kind of tough for her, but she's seems to be doing all right. So Lola's doing fine. And I want to talk about a couple of things. We get ready for the offertory. I don't know how many of you know what ANIFA is. This is a very bad, very dangerous movement going on It's a left-wing, anti-racist political movement. It's strongly anti-Christian. They had a big layup in Seattle last week and came up and physically involved, hurt some of the Christians. Police didn't do a thing.
Yeah, they arrested the pastor.
Yeah, that's what they did. Yeah, so they're afraid of getting arrested, so they take kills those who are going to be law-abiding as the ones they're going to take care of. It's just, it's getting very, very bad. So let's be in prayer, and they're having trouble in Portland and in L.A. And the thing we want to remember here, thinking about the offertory, we pray about meeting and giving the gospel to people. People, we need to spend a great deal of time for those that are in Christ. Especially today. They're being damaged, killed in a lot of the nations around the world right now. And it's going to get worse here. It's getting worse here, not going to. It's getting worse here, and we need to be in prayer for one another. We need to be in prayer for other Christians, other believers. We don't know their name, but what we're finding out in our study is the Apostle Paul went into prayer. He didn't know their names either. He did not know them, but he would pray about them. So we need to be in prayer for other believers, wherever they are, and whatever country, whatever adversity they're going through, we need to be in prayer for one another. In America, yes, it's going to get worse here, as it just turned out in Seattle, Portland, but we need to be in prayer for one another, and be in prayer that we will pray for them, their health, their safety, and their relationship with the Lord. In Nineveh, it's just really bad. And so we need to be in prayer for a lot of places around the world that are Christians and the battle that's going on in their part. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory with a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have enjoyed America for the last couple of hundred years. Freedom in Christ, those days are over. The history of America is now over. We now are in the same battle with countries all over the world. Pray, Father, you will protect our friends in Christ all over the world. We pray for those that are listening via outreach, Father. Be in prayer for those that are in various battles, enemies in Christ. Father, we pray these things now. You receive the offerings that we're about to give. You'll use this offering and this assembly to getting out the message. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. He's out in a minute. Okay, let's, before we go into prayer, now last week we started our study on prayer from the Old Testament. Or actually, we started about a study in Do You Know How to Pray? Now, we're going to continue because we only got to three or four of those points, and then we went into our long discussion. So if you do not have a copy from last week, Jeff is now handing you one from last week. And then we have the new list for this morning, prayers from the Old Testament. Now, Kit asked me about, said, when I handed this to you, he said, well, this isn't very long. I said, well, we're finishing or working on what we were last week. But we didn't, we only finished about three or four questions last week. So I printed up some copies of that just so you have it if you didn't have it already. So now you've got that. Now, we also have the handout for today, prayers from the Old Testament. Not the New Testament, Old Testament. We're going to concentrate on the Old Testament for just a few minutes this morning. So we've got that one. Now, one other thing before we go into prayer. Strongly recommend you get into Kit and his studying in regard to the Old Testament and Abraham and the Lord and Moses. And he did the print last week, so please get it if you do not have a copy and have not read it. Judges, it's under Judges chapter 7, part 5, but we didn't get into put much of part 5. We were dealing with his handout, which is this one right here from last week. So please be ready to go into Kit and his study on the prayer dealing with the Old Testament. All right, now let's go from things that Kit did, things we're going to see in regard to prayer from the Old Testament. Much different than in the church age, and much different than in the millennium. So it's just getting better and better in relationship with God. So let's begin with the word of prayer to move into our study. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that wherever we are in history, you are there to talk, to hear, to respond to our prayers and talks. Pray now, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand in our study. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, prayers from the Old Testament. Now, last Sunday we were studying and dealing with the prayer, and we were dealing with it in the New Testament. Now, where we are now, I finally recommend that you, as I'm saying here, listen to Kit's study on the relationship of Abraham and Moses. Now, this morning we're going to continue at this point, and we're going to take a look at the prayer of the Old Testament. So this is where we're in the midst of studying. Now, most prayer in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament and today, if Jews today want to address God, most of them would just call him HaMishon. Now, this is HaMishon. This is a Hebrew word which means a name. Name for God. And if they were praying right now, they wouldn't say Father as we do. They wouldn't say Son. They wouldn't say Holy Spirit as we do in our prayers. They simply would say Hashem. And that's talking to God. That's who they would pray for. Now, with that in mind, Deuteronomy 25:58, to get a feel of where we are. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law that are written in this book to fear or show observance this honor and awesome name. That is the Sham was the word for name, and the name. Now we have the Lord in our, in at this verse, we have the Lord, that's Yasham, YHSWH, and Elohim, which is the plural for God. Now, let's just talk for a moment about Al-Hashem. Now, Hashem means the name. So when you're talking to a Jewish person and they pray, or you hear them pray or read a prayer, this is what they're, when they say Hashem, they're talking about the name. They won't say his name. You understand that? We will immediately call it his name. They will not mention his name. And it is used to identify a person. In the Bible, the Hebrew word for God is made up of four vowels. YHWH. Now, saying God's name to the Jew considered very serious and wonderful and powerful thing. So much so that in the Ten Commandments prohibit them from saying God's name in vain. Today the Jews will not even say his name, but they just simply will say Hashem. That's what they would say. They would not say his name. Just on this point, it's a shame how in English today, referring to God has become common profanity. It's being just common profanity. I hope this study we are in the midst of right now, you will think most reverently when you pray to God. When you still, when you give your prayers to Him. Remember, even His name, even the three or four names we use, even His name refers to His power. And, in fact, when we finish studying about prayer, getting back to Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to be studying for quite a while on the power of God. And the very use of His name, it refers to His power. And therefore we want to, when we're in prayer, respectful, fearful, observant, when you pray to God. It is interesting how Israel does not think that Jesus is the Messiah. But boy, they have full reverence for His name. They don't call Him, they don't respect Him as the Messiah, but still very respectful about His name. Now, let's go back to what we're in the midst of looking at, Deuteronomy 28, so that you can see where we are now. Deuteronomy 28:58. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, that's the Hashem, the Lord your God, that is Yahweh and Elohim. Now let's move on in the next verse. Then, now you, the point is, you forget to it. If you do not forget, for careful to observe all the words of the law, if you do not do that, then the Lord, Jehovah, that's Yahweh Elohim, will bring extraordinary plagues on you. You got that? You don't know how to pray correctly? He's going to bring plagues. And your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues, and miserable and chronic sicknesses, just because you don't know how to pray correctly to God. And He will bring back on you every disease of Egypt of which you were afraid. And they will cling to you. These plagues will just cling to you. Also, every sickness, every plague, which are not written in the book of the law, the Lord Jehovah will bring on you until you are destroyed. That's how important it is. Now, let's read a few verses to get an idea of the warning against profaning His very name. I hope you think these things about your own prayer. Heavenly Father, whatever it is you pray. All right. This time, let's look at Leviticus 24. Start reading in verse 11. The son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name. All right. You should be familiar. The name referring to the Lord, but not using His name. So in other words, we would say the Israelite woman blasphemed the Lord, blasphemed Yashim. So that's what would be have. But not saying that, the name. That is, she blasphemed Jehovah and cursed. So they brought him to Moses. Now his mother's name was Shiloh, and the daughter of Deborah of the tribe of Dan. Then they put him in custody, the one who misused the word of the Lord. They put him in custody, waiting for Moses to give him a clear decision in accordance with the command of the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the one who is cursed outside the camp. Now that means cursing and misusing his name. Sometimes it means even just saying his name out of contact. Just saying his name. That's what we're dealing with. Bring the one who has cursed outside the camp. Take him outside the camp. And have all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Then have all the congregation stone him. A few will start in there, but then everyone there will start. Congregation will stone him. You shall also speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if anyone curses his God, then he will bear the responsibility for his sin. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. That's pretty severe. The one who blasphemes the name of the Lord. It's very difficult. Yes.
Who wrote this?
I'm sorry?
Who wrote this?
This is in Leviticus, and the Lord wrote it. Okay?
Moses recorded it.
Okay, that's how we're going to look at this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I don't know about you. I'm sure some of you are the same as I am. I hate some of the movies. The movie's pretty good. And then all of a sudden, it's blaspheming about Jesus Christ. his name, talking about the God, all these type of things. I want you to look what happened in the Old Testament. Death penalty. Death penalty. You shall also speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if anyone curses his God, then he will bear the responsibility for his sin. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. Well, that would sure straighten up the movies today, wouldn't it? Alright. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. That's very severe. Now, names of God in the Old Testament. Last week, we closed down. What do we say to God when we pray? Well, here are some of the names of the Old Testament. Hashem, that is the name. Yahweh, that's the shorter Yah. El, that means God, but it's generally used for God singular. And then Elohim talks about God plural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then, 5, Shaddai, the one I love. El Shaddai, that's Almighty. And then Sabah, host, as in God of the armies. 1 Samuel 17:45, Adonai, Lord. Now, this is about all that there are. There are other names of God, but these are the ones that are talked about when talking to God about prayer. Okay? But there are other names, probably about, I think, around 8 of them names. Now, unlike the New Testament, where God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit refers specifically to one of the members of the Godhead, the one being referred to. Here in the Old Testament, these Hebrew names can be used for any one of the members, used for God, not for anyone special. Prayer, we could spend hours on this, but just very quickly, addresses a request, our thanks, our expression to deity. Old Testament, New Testament. I've got to speak to God. Now, what we're going to do now is look some of the prayers through the Old Testament. Let's learn some things about prayer as it relates in the Old Testament. Now, taking you just through a control of the Bible. 1. Genesis 1 and 2. Nothing, no prayer there. It's said only by the Lord. 2. Genesis 3. First prayer said other than the Lord, and that will be said by Satan. And then not as a prayer, nor spoken of to the Lord, but to Eve, speaking to Eve, then the woman shall spoke, but not to the Lord, but to Satan. All I want to do is tell you a flow of the third chapter. Now, 3. By the way, as I go through this, got any question, challenge, whatever, raise your hand. Let's go through this. 3. Then the Lord spoke to Eve and Adam in Genesis 3. 4. Then you go to Genesis 4. The Lord spoke to Cain, and the Lord spoke to Abel. Cain talked with the Lord, and the Lord answered Cain and spoke to all concerning the killing of Cain. So he spoke to everyone that might maltreat Cain, and if they kill Cain, they're in trouble. 5, Genesis 6. God talked with Noah on the flood and the ark, but Noah is never said to speak to God. 6, God spoke to two other members of the Godhead in Genesis 11:7. That's where they came out. We are under the attack by the thing of the same people that's going to cause Genesis 6 to come into the Genesis people to show disaster against God. 7, the Lord spoke to Abram with the words of the Abrahamic covenant, then with Abram about Lot separating from Abram concerning the land of Abram, Genesis 12. 8, the first blessing to the Lord in the Bible is by Melchizedek. Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. He referred to God as El, which means mighty one or hero, one of the most ancient names for God in the old Bible, in the Bible. This is in Genesis 14:19. Okay, that brings us to point 9. Then the Lord had a discussion with Abram, and Abram with the Lord, addressing him as, O Lord God, that is, Adonai Yahweh. This name of God will come up with God talking with Moses in Genesis 15:2-8. 10, repeated the name El, given by in Genesis 16:13 by Hagar. El. 11, again by Abram, I am God Almighty. El Shaddai, Almighty God, had several discussions with Abram, Genesis 17:1. 12, the first time that Moses talked with God in Exodus 3:6, God referred to himself as God, Elohim, and then the famous one Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. Yahweh. That is, Yahweh is the word, I am. I am who I am. He called himself Yahweh. Okay? 13. Now we start moving through the Bible a little bit. 13, Spirit of the Lord, Judges 3:10, 6:34, 14:6. 14, Judges 5:3-12, the song from Deborah to the Lord, she sang to Yahweh. And I do that just to show you how often that wonderful word is used in the Bible. 15, Lord, long wonderful prayer to God by Hannah in 1 Samuel 2:1. Those of you that know Hannah, she prayed about having a child. Beautiful, wonderful, long prayer. If you ever just want to read a long, beautiful prayer, read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and following. Now, 16. The first prayer revealed, recorded in history was by Job. Job 1:21. And the first use of the name Yahweh is used that early in Job 1. Job 1:21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord, that's Yahweh, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the first prayer recorded in history in the Bible. How powerful a prayer is that for us in life. Now, let's move on to number 17. The first prayer by David, I just think that should be talked about, also contains use of the name Yahweh. Psalms 3:1. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Now, let me talk about David in prayer. I will talk to people, and have done so for many years, and will continue to do so, when people, other believers, are in pain, hurting, worry, all these type of things. They're really lost. I tell them, okay, here's what you want to do. Go alone, get your Bible, and open your Psalms to Psalm 3. And just read the Psalms from there on for about 12 to 14 verses or chapters by David. And over his pain, his hurt, his shame, over and over to Jehovah, over and over to Yahweh, over and over to El. He will pray over and over. So if you want to just get into the habit of some good, solid prayer, read Psalms 3 following. Now, this takes us on to number 18. Sometime we have to pray to God, calling on Him to hear our prayers. I'm just picking up some of the prayers that I think is powerful in the Old Testament. So here is calling to prayer, praying to God, calling on Him to hear our prayers. Psalm 143:1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my blessings, my pleadings. Listen to my pleadings. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. That is so beautiful. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my pleadings. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. Let it always be in the power, and this is for the church age, always be in the power of the Spirit in these prayers. But look at Psalm 18:6. In my distress, it's one of those prayers that I recommend to people to read that are hurting. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. There's the key. Then verse 6 of Psalm 34. This afflicted man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's pretty good. Saving through all of his troubles. Now that brings us number 19. Learning something about prayer, or more accurately, more about how God rejects prayer. Rejects prayer. Isaiah 1:15. So, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I, God, will hide my ears from you. Yes, even though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. You're the enemy. So, he's not always going to answer our prayers. You've got to get into fellowship. In the church age, we would say, get into the filling of the Spirit if you want to pray. Otherwise, you're wasting time. It's not going to get higher than the ceiling. So you want to go into prayer. Here is a very important principle about prayer. God will not listen to every prayer you offer. Isaiah 8:17. And I will wait for the Lord, for is hiding his voice. The Lord is hiding his voice from the house of Jacob. I will even look eagerly for him. In other words, he's not going to unless you come to him correctly. Please be aware of prayer. God is always waiting for us to pray with him. But you cannot pray with a sinful heart. It isn't going to work. Put it into a simple term. Lord, guide me as I rob this bank, that I don't get shot. See? It doesn't work that way. You don't get to do that. That's a humorous way, but oftentimes the way people pray. Now, number 60. But God is always ready to answer our prayers. He's always ready. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That is powerful. That's an answer. We want God to answer our prayers. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. How about that for a prayer to God? Always be ready to pray because of great pains in your soul. Lamentations 1:24. See, O Lord, for I am in distress. My spirit is greatly troubled. Now, he's not in sin, but he's in troubled. My heart is overturned within me, for I have been very rebellious. I've been there. In the street of the sword slays. In the house, it is like death. 21. Prayer can change the thinking of God. Do you ever think about that? Can you actually cause God to change his thinking, his way? Take a look. Amos 7:2. And it came about, when it had finished eating the vegetation of the land, that I said, Lord God, please pardon. How can Jacob stand? For he is small. The Lord, Yahweh, changed about this. It shall not be, said the Lord. It shall not be. So he went and prayed. the Lord changed his mind. We can do that. You can actually change him. In fact, we studied that in Job. Job chapter 1. You can change God's thinking on issues. So, here is a believer in Amos changing the Lord. Now, in our study, from last Sunday, we saw that we pray to God the Father as Jesus did in his life. And then we saw that we pray to the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. And we spent this time, and we've covered three points, so getting ready for number four today, this morning. And that first one was, why should we pray? Why should we pray? Because God desires to hear our voice. We studied that last week. Point two, prayers should always be proclaimed in thanksgiving. Three, then we saw the emphasis of thanksgiving in prayer. Then this is where we became centered on was the order of prayer. So that's where we are now in point number four, order of prayer. Order of prayer. As you can see from these few examples, all prayer in the church age is addressed to God the Father. All prayer is addressed to the Father. I didn't write it that way. That's the way it is. Different than the Old Testament. This is church age. I have heard various pastors and believers complain about this. I want to pray to Jesus. Well, this sounds nice. Sounds nice. It's not scriptural. It's not biblical. The same is true while praying. We should not pray to God the Holy Spirit. All prayer in the Bible of the New Testament is referred or addressed to God the Father. Okay? First, God the Father is the author of the entire divine plan. Secondly, please remember that Jesus came to bring us to the Father. That's why he came. The second member of the Godhead came into the human race to bring us to God, the Son, or God, Jesus, or the Father. And third, therefore, we pray to the Father under the authority of and because of our position in Christ. And we pray in the power and guidance of God the Holy Spirit. Fourth, all facets of prayer demand our faith. All facets of prayer demand our faith and our trust in God. The Father, that our prayers will be answered. And then we trust in the Holy Spirit that He will guide us in prayer, which we'll come to, in accordance to the will and plan of God the Father. So let's get number four here. All facets of prayer demand our faith and our trust in God the Father, that our prayers will be answered, and then our trust in the Holy Spirit, that He will guide us in prayer. We'll spend some time on this in Romans chapter 8, of how the Holy Spirit will pray in our behalf. Now, remember that we can call Him Father because of our relationship with His Son. They didn't have this in the Old Testament. Didn't have it. We have it because of his son. The relationship we have with his son, we now call him Father. Jesus Christ is his son. We are in his son. We can share the Father. Not until Jesus did anyone pray to him as Father. They called him Father. They knew he was a Father, not prayed to his Father. We have this privilege because we are in Christ, the Son of God. Now, summary on this point. How to pray in the Holy Spirit. How to pray in the Holy Spirit to the Father. One, admit inability to pray to God in your own power and knowledge. Put that away. Two, go to and depend on the Holy Spirit to guide you in your own prayers. Three, the Holy Spirit is of power, truthfulness, and the guide to you in prayers. We'll come into heavy this when we get to Romans, talking about Romans 8, where the Holy Spirit prays for us. Four, therefore, when we pray to the Holy Spirit, we should pray with boldness and assurance. We'll see that in Ephesians. Four, five, the Holy Spirit leads in prayer. Start off with the filling of the Holy Spirit, knowing and guided in the Word of God in prayer. Let the Holy Spirit lead you as to what you ought to pray. Now, in that sense, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Of course, the question is, how do you do that? Then 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to our God, even Father. Let me repeat now, this is Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for all things. Now, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to the one we pray to, God, even Father. So the three members of the Godhead being involved. Okay, number five. Prayer is dependent upon relationship. Prayer is dependent upon relationship. First, there is the relationship of the individual members of the Trinity with each other. It is because of their relationship with one another that we can pray. Then, we saw that in the Genesis, when the Trinity got together, we've got to come together. They're planning a plan against us and building the walls that would be built. So, the Trinity came together to speak. So here we have the three members of the Godhead come together. Then, there is our relationship designated to God the Father. There's our relationship to God the Father. Why anyone would not want to pray to God the Father is beyond me. Then there is our relationship with Jesus Christ, under which we can come, even which we can even come to the Father in prayer because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can pray to the Father because He is the Heavenly Father of Jesus Christ, and we are in Jesus Christ. And then there is no relation, there is our relationship with the Holy Spirit that we just saw in Ephesians chapter 5, knowing how to pray and our calling in the Holy Spirit, who guides and empowers us to pray. Unfortunately, so many people, Christians, are so sloppy and abusive in their prayer life. God hears only the prayers of believers who are praying in the Holy Spirit, and prayers that are based on our relationship with His Son. People, that's very important. If you did a study of World War II and watched the way they treated the Jews, I cannot help but believe many must have just cried out. But if they were not believers, they were not heard. Got to remember that. Do you have the right to pray to God? That's what we're dealing with. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always to Him. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for Him. Now, He is called God the Father because He is the Father of His Son, Jesus Christ. And since we are in Christ, by faith alone in Christ, He is our Father also. Paul is in prison. In our study in Ephesians, you would think he had enough problems of his own to be in prayer about, yet when you study some of his prayers, it's all about the believers. You think he'd had enough problems right now. He's in prison, but he doesn't. He prays for other people. So we got to be in prayer for others. Well, that brings us to point six, and yet this will take us a few minutes. So we will resume next Sunday at number six and continue our study in regard to prayer. So let's close. Any questions? Yes.
Thanks, sir. You're talking about, unfortunately, so many Christians are so sloppy and abused in their prayer life. God hears only the prayers of believers and so forth. I would hate to think that I have to do something good enough that God would hear me.
It's not a matter of how I'm good, it's a matter of praying to Him in the power of the Spirit. That's all. Just in the power of the Spirit. But if you pray, you can be the worst person in the world. That doesn't have anything to do with it. But are you praying in the power of the Spirit?
So that because we're believers in Jesus Christ, that we're in the Spirit? Or is that what you're saying? Or you say...
Yes, exactly.
Because we are in Christ, we are praying in the power of the Spirit?
Yes, and in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you. He's in every born-again believer. But when you pray, communicating with Him, you want to be in His power.
So you're saying if you're out of fellowship, you're not in, God does not hear our prayers?
God does not hear your prayers.
Because it's coming from the flesh.
Yeah.
You're in the power of the flesh, or the power of the Spirit?
Yes.
You have to be in the power of the Spirit to communicate with God. It's that simple.
There you go.
If I'm frustrated, I'm like, oh, come on, God, do this.
It's an item of mind that expects you to be in to talk to.
Yeah.
We're good or not.
Has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, and that would be the
yeah. Purpose. So where it be. That's why some of the prayers about the Old Testament, and he was in all the things that he was in, but I'm praying to you. Came back to him.
So I was in the power of the Spirit with those skunks.
That'd be don't get personal.
Okay, good.
I'm not sure Mike got the answer. Did you get the answer?
Yeah, that's true.
It was a daily battle.
Mike, did you get your answer?
Oh, yeah.
It seems to dwell in my head because I know Herman wouldn't be telling me that I have to do something good enough to be encouraged.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out some way of saying it another way that would be.
The only way I know how to say it is in the power of the Spirit. That'd be the only way I know.
So then, okay, we'll talk about it later.
Okay, good. All right, let's close in a word of prayer and continue this next week on the study of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have a God who hears our prayers, that we can pray to, cry to, be joyful with. How grateful we are that we can come to you in prayer. We can pray for others. We can pray for ourselves. What an awesome relationship we have with you. With you, sovereign, omnipotent God of all the universe, and we can pray to you. The quietness of our own soul, when we're in pain, suffering, we can come to you in prayer. And you hear it, you listen, you come to us. We thank you, Father, for your word that teaches us about prayer, teaches us about our time to be in prayer. Pray your Spirit will use things we've seen this morning in regard to prayer in our own lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.